if I'm quote unquote failing at something that seems so darn simple, you're missing something. Some of the most brilliant people I've ever met in my life have terrible executive functioning, but they are brilliant. And the things that seem simple are very complicated to me. And I've got to own that so that I can create processes that integrate that reality.
Hey there, billionaire. Yep, I'm talking to you. If you expect to live another 31 years, you're already a billionaire. Not in money, but in the real measure of wealth. Time. That's because 31 years is roughly a billion seconds. But most of us waste time in ways we'd never waste money. The currency of time billionaires is micro moments. The 90-second to 15-minute gaps hidden between the structured parts of your day. This podcast is about reclaiming them with quick, research-backed ideas to help you feel more creative, productive, and alive. Welcome to Time Billionaires. Let's make your next micro moment count. This is a two-part episode. If you want to check out the first part, listen to the previous episode of Time Billionaires.
There is this idea that, like, why am I making this such a big deal? Just go do the darn thing. And you're right. Initiation is then a little bit easier. But most people are struggling not with getting started typically, but with sustaining. And that is where you might need to broaden out your attempt, or you might need to go bigger than you think, at least for a short term, until, like you say, it starts to get a little more indelible. It's just part of your given nature. And then, you know, after a certain amount of time, you might not be so reliant on all these extra things.
Mm-hmm. What about for something you want to stop? So stopping scrolling as opposed to starting drinking water. Was their process different?
Yes, 100%. Because your brain cannot process a negative. If I tell you don't think of an elephant, you cannot do that because on some level, your brain has to think of an element to not think of something. So when you tell your brain to stop something, it honestly doesn't know what to do with it.
Interesting.
So what we're doing is we're not trying to totally quit something. We're trying to create something. You're trying to create an identity around being a person who doesn't scroll. Now that could be, you replace it with something a little healthier that's still enjoyable. Or it's you are trying to create an identity where I am a person who is mindful. I'm trying to create a mindful identity. And what does that look like? When your brain has something it's trying to do, it is a lot easier than getting it to try to not do something.
Interesting. So yeah, it sounds like the simplest step someone could do if they want to stop doing something is to replace it. And if they want to start doing something, make it bigger. So make the system more robust. Is that right?
Correct. Make the system more robust and take into account that, again, if I'm quote unquote failing at something that seems so darn simple, you're missing something. You're missing something. You're trying to deny yourself that this might be harder than you think. And this is where the shame comes in. Well, I should be able to do this. Well, guess what? Some of the most brilliant people I've ever met in my life have terrible executive functioning, but they are brilliant. They are unbelievably smart and make connections faster than most people or do it in a way that I've never even seen before. However, they cannot remember where they put their keys. And yes, we could label it some sort of diagnosis. It's ADHD. It's this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, what they really have to encounter in themselves is I am very good at some things and the things that seem simple are very complicated to me. And I've got to own that so that I can create processes that integrate that reality.
Yeah, I think it's empowering too, because it's saying that your mind is working in a different way. And this is something that is very tactical we can do. I just read Beyond Belief by Nir Eyal, and he used a chapter title, Pills Don't Build Skills, specifically around ADHD and identity around it, of how it can be empowering for people who don't know why they misplace their keys or chronically late, etc., to have a diagnosis. But it can also then become an identity shortcut to why I'll never get better. Sure, I can take something, but that's working at the biochemical level, not the skill-based level, and we need both long-term to sustain with fewer side effects and an actual process.
Right. And I will say this, the question I always ask people is the thing you're trying to do, does it bother you on some level that you can't do it? For the people that say, yes, it really bothers me that I'm not able to do it, I will always identify that that means there is potential for you to be able to do it, is within you. If it didn't bother you, you probably doesn't matter. We're not going to put any resources toward it. You don't really care. Like, I don't care that I'm not in the NFL. Like, it's not going to be me. But when we have these parts that, like, gosh, I wish this was different, we are recognizing that we have the potential to do it, but we are probably going about it in a way that's not a good fit for what we as an individual may need it to look like. We're probably trying to be a little too normative. Well, this is what everybody on Facebook says I should do, and it works for them, but it's not working for me. What am I missing? What do I need to include in my own makeup, right? In my own vulnerabilities and my strengths that I need to be, you know, create a better fit for in this system.
Yeah, it comes back to your forced ranking priorities. I'm thinking of a friend of mine, really successful, talented person, who was telling me that she was really bad at responding to text messages. And she was telling her executive coach this, and the coach just replied, well, is that a priority to you? Is being fast to respond to text messages a priority? Because if it is, of course, you can allocate time at the end of the day when you're currently winding down with your husband after your son goes to sleep. But if it's not a priority to you, why do you feel like it needs to be? And I think that comes into the forced ranking priorities, because it's easy to think something that seems simple, like responding to text messages, is just a choice without trade-offs. But there is no choice without trade-offs. There would be no choice to make if there was no trade-off. And so deciding I want to be faster responding to text messages means we have to give something up. And deciding, does that fit in my forced priority ranking or not, is the V1, this is the first step. Yeah.
Right. And what, and how do you qualify fast to respond? Right. Because you can get a little bit better. Are you okay with that? Or do you have some vision in your mind that you are supposed to look exactly like this? And is that really managing your own expectations of where you are currently and what you're working towards? That's where a lot of people miss as well. They don't manage expectations of their growth. They're not okay with incremental, you know, step-by-step growth. They want to jump ahead to what they envision it should look like, thinking it's simple, but they're not dealing with the enormous amount of steps that go into jumping towards the end, you know, and so that can be sequencing as well as prioritizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And appreciating that there's certain things about your status quo that you like, that you might need to give up to prioritize energy for something else, and you can't just swap them in interchangeably. For somebody listening, is there something you want them to do in a micro moment today to act on the advice that you've given?
I want you to look at something that you've been putting off, something that you have struggled with for years or weeks or whatever it is, and I want you to throw out the notion that you are being lazy about it, or that you are a procrastinator, or that you are a perfectionist. Those are not actual reasons for why it's not happening. Those are defense mechanisms. Those are you trying to hide behind something because you don't feel so great about it. And what I'm trying to free you of is being caught in that moral dilemma, that you are a moral failure somehow because the thing you're trying to do isn't getting done. I want you to look at it from a process approach and really get into the nitty-gritty that you might be missing things on why it's as hard as it is.
Yeah, that's great advice. And those labels are a choice too, right? Deciding I am a perfectionist, so I can't blank.
Right.
It's a choice. And we just as easily could say, I'm deciding to replace that with something, or even answering the question, why is this so hard for me? Actually answering it, not just saying, why is this so hard for me? As if you're frustrated with yourself, can be the unlock for actually answering that question.
I love that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Is there anything I didn't ask, didn't give you a chance to express that you wanted to share?
Oh gosh. No, I, you know, for how big executive functioning is, I think we did a really nice job of taking on some examples of it, but it can get pretty in depth. And so it might warrant further research or education for the people listening out there.
Yeah. Possibly on your podcast, Hopelessly Gifted.
There you go. Yeah. Awesome. You can always tune into that.
That's great. Thanks for being here, Mark.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for spending this micro moment with me. If you found it valuable, share it with a fellow time billionaire and give us a rating to help others discover the power of micro moments. For more ways to reclaim your time, check out timebillionaires.org and follow me, Rebecca Shaddix, on LinkedIn. See you next time.